So I started this year by looking at what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, looking at what we are as his disciples. And as his disciples today, we do have the tendency to judge rather harshly those original 12 disciples that walk with Jesus. Because when we're reading through the Gospels, it's easy to marvel at their inability to perceive things that we grasp as basic spiritual truths. But we've got to remember, those disciples were walking at a time, they were walking and they were operating in only the natural mind. They were not able to apprehend the great spiritual revelations that you and I not only have access to, but sometimes we take for granted, because we've got that knowledge and that understanding through the Holy Spirit. When they were walking with Jesus, Jesus had not yet been glorified. And so the Holy Spirit had not yet come. We see that in John. Look at this. This is John chapter 7, verse number 39. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, who those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. For you and I, if we've accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, if we've accepted his gift of salvation, then you and I, we have the Holy Spirit already living and dwelling inside of us. We can know and understand things that are otherwise unknowable. We can know and understand things that the natural mind can never perceive and understand. We can know all of those things. Well, those 12 disciples walking with Jesus Christ, they didn't have that spiritual insight. So they didn't understand some of the spiritual realities that you and I understand. And again, sometimes the spiritual realities that you and I have a tendency to take for granted. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man, these 12 men, they were walking in the natural mind. But the natural mind does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Don't take for granted for a moment the ability. You are living every day. You don't even realize it sometimes. And we are living with spiritual discernment. We are understanding things spiritually that otherwise we could not know and we would not understand. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. So we can know the deepest things of God. We can know the mind of Christ. We can know the fullness of the power of his word. We can know all those things that those disciples, those 12 men walking with Jesus, they couldn't know. They didn't know some of those things. But I've said all that to set up this, because this is what I really respect about those 12 men. They did not have that Holy Spirit understanding, but they did understand this. They understood something that we not only take for granted, sometimes I think we fail to realize it, and we certainly fail to remember it in this life. Don't judge those 12 disciples too harshly, because there's a great spiritual lesson that we can learn from those 12 men. Those 12 men, they understood the power that Jesus had entrusted into them. Just what Jim was talking, just what the Holy Spirit spoke through Jim. Those men understood the power that Jesus entrusted to them. And here's the real key. They knew that they were supposed to operate in that power. They knew that they were expected to operate in that power. And it's very important, this phrase is very important. I made sure that I didn't forget to have this phrase. And I love it because it's the same thing the Holy Spirit spoke through Jim. They understood that they were expected to work in that power every day, daily. They were expected. They knew that. They understood it. They remembered it. They could see it. They knew that. We have that Holy Spirit understanding. We need to remember the power that he has entrusted to us so that we can daily operate and walk in that power. Jesus gave us the authority of his name. And he gave us his power. And he expects us to operate in his power to his glory. He expects us to operate in his power. It's his power that works through us. So you're going to remember this verse, because this is probably the 10th time in the 5 years I've been doing this that I've said, hey, this is one of my like five favorite verses. So this is Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 20. It says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could think or ask. We can think about a lot. We can ask. There's a lot of things we can think to ask. Jesus is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above, beyond all that we could think or ask, according to his power. And it's his power that works through us. It's his power, but it must work through us. His power at work through us. Now, you may remember a couple of weeks ago, I was talking about an account from Luke chapter 9. And when I was talking about that, I was referring to that time when Jesus had his plan. His plan was to go to Jerusalem to worship. And his plan was to pass through Samaria to go worship in Jerusalem. And if you remember, the Samaritans did not receive Jesus because of that antipathy that existed between the Samaritans and the Jews. So they didn't receive Jesus. Do you guys remember that? There's a part of that account that I didn't talk about then because it wasn't germane to the conversation, but it's really vitally important to what we're talking about today. And so I want to focus on this aspect of that same story. In that same story, and that's Luke chapter 9, we'll be looking at that several times this morning. In that account, we learn that two of Jesus' disciples, James and John, two of those responded to the rejection the Samaritans gave to Jesus by asking Jesus if he wanted them to call down fire from heaven to destroy the Samaritans just as Elijah had done. This is in Luke chapter 9, verse number 54. Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did? Now Jesus responds to them in the next two verses, and you can see his response is in the form of a rebuke. He turned, and he rebuked them and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. We need to know the manner of spirit we are of. We have the Holy Spirit. We can know things that they could not know and understand. You do not know what manner of the spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went on to another village. Those disciples, they got rebuked. They got taken to the woodshed by Jesus. They were yelled at by Daddy. They got rebuked. So then what's the great lesson that we can learn? Because I don't want to get rebuked. What's the great lesson we learn from that then? The disciples did not have the power. They didn't have the knowledge. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. They did not have the Holy Spirit living and dwelling within them. So they didn't know. They could not understand those things of Jesus. They were operating of the wrong spirit. It was the spirit of the world. They were operating under the law of the old covenant, which means they were not operating under the grace of Jesus Christ. They were operating under all of those old things. But while their motivation was wrong, and their motivation was wrong, clearly, yet they still understood that they were supposed to operate in the power and in the authority of Jesus Christ. Now, we are his disciples today. We have the Holy Spirit. So you and I, we can know and understand the heart and the nature of Jesus Christ. We know and we understand what they did not. And yet they were ready. They were actually anxious to operate in the power of Jesus Christ. Are we? You know, sometimes I think in the body of Christ we're somewhat hesitant. I would even say sometimes we're not really even mindful of the power that he's given us and that he expects, the power that he expects, his power that is to work through us. I don't think we're even mindful of it sometimes. It's his authority and his power that he expects us to use. It's what he expects of us. I learned this when I was only 7 years a Christian. I'd only been saved for 7 years, and this is 1989. In 1989, I went to Romania, and this is back when, this is literally 6 months before communism fell. So when I went to Romania was under the thumb of a horrible dictator named Nicolae Ceaușescu. And Ceaușescu was a tyrant, and he was continually he was torturing people all over, killing people. I mean, he was a horrible tyrant, and he had been for a generation. And this is what, there was five of us that went into Romania, and what we were doing was totally illegal. And they told us that we could be arrested for what we were doing. And so when you're there in Romania, you are, I learned very quickly. I had to trust. I had to trust in the Word. I had to trust in Jesus. But I knew that we had been given a task to do. And I knew that we were supposed to go to these different churches. Now, the guy that was in charge, there was only five of us. The guy that was in charge, he knew, he had all the contacts. He knew the churches. He knew the people's houses we were going. Everything, going to people's houses was highly illegal. He knew all these people and all these contacts. He would never tell us any names. Because if we got arrested, he didn't want us to be able to reveal anyone's name and endanger anybody else. And so you have this kind of tension the whole time. But what's amazing is when you're there, there was no tension at all. You just felt the presence and you knew that Jesus was taking care of you. And the one time that I really remember praying, because I knew that we had to be in prayer, we were, it was like halfway through, we were, I don't even know where we were in Romania, because we never knew where we were at. He would never tell us. We were at some church, and as we were there, that's the first time the Holy Spirit ever spoke to me to speak to someone, because he showed me that somebody had a knee that they needed healing for. It's the first time I ever had that happen. So it's at this church, there was all kinds of, I was like the least of the five. So these other four guys, they were just really operating in the Holy Spirit. It was just awesome to watch and be a part of. But there was people that got up in the back, and we were told that they went to report us to the police. And so we had to go. But we, the five of us, we stayed there until we were done with the Holy Spirit had. You had to pray and believe in the power of Jesus Christ so that we could leave that place, get on the road, be on the road, and not be seen, not be picked up, and not be arrested. This is the power of Jesus Christ. We're expected to operate. When you're in places like Romania, we had to operate every day, speaking His word and operating in His power. In our lives here in this country, we feel like we can get through the day. And you know what? The truth is, we go through a lot of days without operating in His power. But there are things in our lives every day. There are people that you will see today. There's things that are going to come across your life, either for you or for someone else, where we are expected to operate in His power. And even though we have the Spirit that the disciples did not, but we need to learn the lesson from them because they understood that they were expected to operate in the power of Jesus every single day. They expected it. They knew that they were supposed to. That's the heart that we need to have. Now, maybe we feel sometimes, perhaps we feel like we just don't understand that power. Or maybe we feel like we don't understand how to operate in that power. There might even be a part of us that feels like, well, maybe we're just not worthy to have His power manifested through us. Listen, whatever questions, whatever uncertainties you might have in your mind concerning the supernatural, concerning the miraculous, whatever questions or uncertainties you might have, we have access to the answers to whatever uncertainties you may have. Look at this from, this is Ephesians chapter 1. This is verse 19. And I want us to see this in the Amplified Bible. Ephesians 1:19. And so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of His power in and for us. It is the immeasurable, surpassing, unlimited greatness of His power that is in you, it's for you, and it's for you, but it's also to go through you to touch the lives of others. His power in us and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of His mighty strength. We should understand the limitless. We should understand the surpassing greatness of His power, and we should know that His power is at work. It works through us. It works through you, and it works through me. And look at this phrase up here at the top. And so that you can know. So that you can know. Whatever questions, whatever uncertainties you might have about, you can know. We can know. We can know everything that there is to know. You can know everything that there is to know about His immeasurable power and how it is demonstrated through your life. You can know it. If you have questions and you're uncertain? Listen, we can teach about that. Here's the best way to learn. Listen to him. Ask him. He will show you. And then you obey when he tells you. I'll give you an example. Just this past Friday. Now, I've learned if the Holy Spirit tells me something, oftentimes the Holy Spirit will speak something to me, and he will to you too. When he speaks it to me, it's just a fleeting thought. And it's very easy to just write that off and say, well, that's just me. Well, that was just nothing. Maybe I'll pray about that. But I've come to learn that when that fleeting thought, if it's a clear thought, I know that it comes from him. And here's how I know then he'll use his power through me. I act on it right away. I was praying on Friday. Here's the thought that came to my mind as I was praying on Friday. Speak against the curse. Now, you might think, curse, we're not of the curse. No, we're not of the curse. But you need to understand that there are people out there that are speaking. And if you think as a body of Christ, if you think there's not people that are out there speaking curses upon us, guess what? We're walking in naivety. I know, but the very first Christian radio station that I worked with, I got from a coven of witches. And this is not just, this is the police who verified this. From a coven of witches, I got death threats. I got letters in the mail. I got them speaking curses. I had to learn, how do you stand against those curses? There are things that are being spoken. I don't take it as just silly. When he said, you speak against the curse, the first words out of my mouth were, the curse that is undeserved may not light. That's his word. And so you speak. But here's my point. When you hear him say and tell you to do something, you act and you speak. This is, it's what the Holy Spirit said through Donna. It is speaking his word. When he tells you something, you don't think about it. You just act. You respond. And when you do that, you get greater clarification of when he is speaking to you. And then you operate in that power more and more. And you will see that power in operation. You'll see it in operation. And you'll experience it. This is what we're supposed to do. We have the Holy Spirit in us so we can know these things. We just need to learn from the disciples to have that anxious anticipation and expectation to operate in his power and in his authority in all things. So those 12 men, those 12 disciples, they couldn't know the heart of Jesus because they didn't have the Holy Spirit. And that's why they were wrong when they thought that they should call down fire from heaven to destroy the Samaritans. They were wrong in that. But here's what I love about the disciples. They were wrong in what they did. But listen to what they asked Jesus. Essentially, they're saying, should I do this, Jesus? Can I do this? Should we call fire down from heaven? Here's what they didn't say. They didn't say, Jesus, you should call down fire from heaven upon them. They understood the power of Jesus Christ that he had entrusted to them. And they understood that they were expected to operate. They couldn't have his mind, so they misunderstood. But they understood the power. And they understood the expectation that was on them to operate in that power. We often go to Jesus and we ask Jesus. We often ask Jesus to do things for us in our lives that he has already given us the power and the authority to do and that he has even instructed us to do. But how often, when we face things in our lives that are contrary to the promises that we know are ours in Jesus Christ, how often when we face those things do we ask Jesus to intervene instead of speaking ourselves, speaking to the problem, speaking to the situation ourselves, speaking in the authority that we have in Jesus' name? It's easy because the world teaches us or encourages us. It's easy to just pray, Jesus, do this for me. He's already done everything. It's already done. We just have to operate in that power and that authority that he's given us. This is what we are called to do as his disciples. Jesus has already done the work. The victory he's already established. Every victory that you need, it's already established. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father in complete victory. He's given us the authority of his name to enforce all of those victories that he has already established for us. He's done all that. We must realize, as the disciples did, we must realize that his power works through us. His power is at work through us. This is our responsibility Thank you for saying amen. You know what? There's a lot of times that we're quiet. This is not for me. This is for you. I've told you guys before, when the Holy Spirit shows you something, write it down. Because if he shows you something and you write it down, here's what you're doing. You're telling Jesus, I honor, I respect what you've given me, and I honor it. And in respecting it, I'm writing it down. Because when I write it down, it's in here. It locks it in here. And I can always go back to it later. I've told you, when you hear something, it helps you receive it. Well, by the same token, sometimes, not just here, this is not for me, this is for you. Sometimes we need to take ownership of things. If you hear something, not just here, if you hear something that someone says that you believe and you receive and it's revelation, own it. Say, yes, thank you, Jesus is mine. Own it. Take it. Take it as yourself. Take those things unto yourself. It's the same thing. If you say something, it is saying to Jesus, I respect it, I honor it, I'm receiving it. And he's going to show you more. He will show you, and he will give you more and show you more. So let's go back. I got off track. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 19. I want to look at that verse again, but this time I want to look at it in the New King James. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? The word that you see in that verse for working, in the Greek, that word working, it means active and it means energy. It also means, well, first of all, there is an energy in his power. And it is an active power. It's active. His power is active. It just needs a vessel. It just needs a vessel to work through. It also says towards. His power works towards us. The Greek word that we see there as towards, that word, now stay with me, this is so awesome, that word towards, it's his power actively moving through us, but it moves towards us. Towards means penetration into. And it also means a union for a particular purpose and result. So what does all that mean? By the Holy Spirit, his power penetrates through this flesh into my spirit. And now the union of his spirit in our spirits, because of the union of his spirit in our spirit, now his power works through us to achieve his goal, his will, his purposes, and his results. This is why it's so imperative for us to speak the word of God, to speak two things, to speak in the authority of Jesus' name, because Jesus has already established whatever it is you need. Whatever it is that you face, Jesus has already established the victories in the spiritual realm that we can't see, but it's real. In that spiritual realm, those things are already done and established. They're done. How do we bring them from the spiritual realm to manifest here in the natural realm? We do that by speaking. You speak and you bring those spiritual realm realities so they leave the spiritual realm and they displace the natural realm realities, which are at odds with the promises and with the word of Jesus Christ. It's knowing and understanding the power that operates in us and knowing and understanding that we are expected to every day operate in that power. So why were the disciples so eager to operate in his power? Can we call down fire from heaven? Why were they so eager to operate in his power? Well, we see the reason for their zeal by going back. This is all from Luke chapter 9. If we go back to the very first verses of Luke chapter 9, we see why they have that kind of zeal to operate in his power. In Luke 9, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Then he called his 12 disciples together. He gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach." That means they are speaking the word of God. "He sent them to preach the kingdom of God, and to heal the sick." They're excited because Jesus commissioned them. Jesus empowered them. He gave them his authority in his name. And they went out and they spoke the word. What was the result? Go down to verse 6. "So they departed and they went through the towns, preaching," they're speaking, "the gospel and healing everyone," everywhere. They're healing everywhere. They're seeing the results. Why did they have so much zeal? They saw the power of Jesus Christ. And when they saw the power of Jesus Christ, having experienced that power, they expected that power. And once they expected that power, they were anxious to see it again. when we speak in the authority of Jesus' name, when we speak according to His word, when we speak in His authority and we experience His power, we expect it. And we become anxious to see it. And here's what happens. When I expect it, I speak differently. If I expect to see His power move, I speak differently. I speak with authority. Think about, I'm going to show you this. In the story, we're going to the, just really for a moment, just to the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 3, verses 6 through 8, familiar story. This is Peter and John as they're coming to the temple, and they see that lame man at the gate called Beautiful. Verse number 6, then Peter said, and remember, that lame man was asking. I'm going to go through the whole story, but you know what's happening there. Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by his right hand, he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Notice that Peter and John, when they prayed, when they healed that lame man, they didn't pray and ask Jesus to heal him. No, what they said is, what I have. They understood that the power of Jesus Christ had been entrusted to them. They had the authority of Jesus' name. What I have, it's His power, but it's in me. What I have, I give to you. And the healing power of Jesus Christ raises that lame man up, totally healed and restored. Again, it's staggering to me that these disciples, well, at this point, they had the Holy Spirit. But you think about the disciples, this is why they had that zeal. Because even before the coming of the Holy Spirit, they had experienced the power. They understood the power Jesus gave them, they experienced it, and they expected it, and they were anxious. We should have that kind of anxiousness. You should be looking forward to today. Who can I pray for? Today, who can I speak victory over? Today, who can I speak the word of God and see the supernatural take place in their life so that that person is excited to know about Jesus Christ and what Jesus has done for them? This is who we are in Jesus Christ. So here's the question. Are we operating every day in His power? Because just think, in your own mind, reflect back. How is it that we respond to the events that rise up in our day? Because it's easy for us to fall back into old habits. Are we asking Jesus to do something in our lives? Are we asking Jesus when we pray? Are we asking Jesus to do something in someone else's life? Or are we using the authority that He's given us, the power and the authority that He's given us? Are we using that authority and speaking in His authority? Are we expecting it? And are we anxious for it? Because what's easy to do is to fall back on old habits. And so if you see someone that needs healing, it's easy to say, Jesus, please pray that, heal that person. Jesus, heal that person. Instead of, we should be saying, Jesus, in the authority of Your name, I speak and I say that that person, that their body lines up with Your word. Your word says that they are healed. And so I speak healing to their body. It's using the power and authority. If you see someone that's going through something where they need deliverance, don't just pray and say, well, Jesus, deliver them, strengthen them. No, you speak. You say all of those hindrances, all of those obstacles, all of those hurdles that are before them, I say in the authority of Jesus' name, all of those hurdles are removed. When you pray for someone to be saved, you know what I always pray? Whenever I'm praying for someone, it's their choice. But I know there's power in prayer, and your prayer positions them to receive, but I also know the power of my prayer can do this. I know that they've been blinded through a lifetime, and I say, in the authority of Jesus' name, every lie, every deception that they have heard and listened to, I rebuke all of those lies and deceptions, that everything that's deceived them is out of the way so that they can see and know the truth for the truth and the lie for the lie, so that they can make a wise choice. This is the power and authority. So, in every day, what are we doing? Are we operating in the power and authority of Jesus Christ? Because that's what the disciples live this out. That's what we should be expecting. And we should be anxious for the opportunity to operate in His power, to operate in His authority in all things. And you know what? The disciples were anxious to see His power in operation. You and I should be even more anxious. We should be even more excited. Jesus said that we will do greater things than Jesus did. Jesus said that Himself. But there's another reason we can expect more. Look at the verse that follows. We've looked twice at Ephesians 1:19. Look at the verse that follows. I'm going to read verse 19 and then go into verse 20. So this is Ephesians 1:19 and 20. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him up from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places. The power that is at work in you and I, it is the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. The power that works through you is the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. So we can know the fullness of His Word. We can know the power of the Word. We can know the heart, the nature, the mind of Christ. And we can know the unsurpassing power that is at work through us. These are the things that we are supposed to know and live and operate in. Those 12 men, those 12 disciples, they showed us how we should live every day of our lives. They lived, and they didn't have the same Holy Spirit understanding that we do. And you know what? When Jesus was speaking to His followers, He said to them, I have much more to share with you. But He said, there's more to share, but I can't, because it can only be understood through the Holy Spirit who has not yet come. We're on the other side of that. We know His heart. We know His mind, His thoughts. And we know the power. We should have the same expectation. This is what He said that, I'm going to read this from John chapter 16, verses 12 and 13. I have still many things to say to you, but you're not able to hear them or to take them upon you or grasp them now. He's talking to His disciples and His followers. But when He, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit, listen, if you have any questions, again, if you have any questions or uncertainties about operating and working in the power of Jesus Christ, He is the truth giver. Ask Him. He will show you. He'll reveal to you how to operate, how to walk in that. When He, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, He will guide you into all the truth, the whole, full truth. There's no reason for us not to understand. For He will not speak His own message on His own authority, but He will tell whatever He hears from the Father. He will give the message that He's been given to Him, that has been given to Him. And He will announce and declare to you the things that are to come and that will happen in the future. There is a lot in those verses. But there, in summary, there's absolutely no reason why you can't know and understand how to operate so that today we can leave this place. You can even pray for someone here before you leave, and you can pray and expect to see the supernatural take place in their life. You can expect to see the power of Jesus Christ operating in their lives. Or before we leave, if you want to pray for someone that you know, a family member or someone that needs, we can pray and see that. We should have that level of expectation. And there is no reason why any one of us, we can all know all that we need to know to operate in His power, to operate in that power of Jesus Christ and to expect it, to see it and expect it. Those 12 disciples, they did not have the Holy Spirit revelation. They didn't have the Holy Spirit revelation because it hadn't yet come. But they understood. They understood the power of Jesus Christ that was in them. Did you guys hear heaven? It's like the Holy Spirit kind of emphasizing something. They understood the power of Jesus Christ. And they expected to operate in that power, in all things. We should have that same expectation. Now, those 12 disciples, they walked with Jesus. They slept with Jesus. They ate with Jesus. They sweated with Jesus. They did everything with Jesus for 3.5 years. They knew Jesus. But we can know Jesus even better than they do. Because He walks with us. They walk with Him, but He walks with us every day because His Holy Spirit is in our spirits. So we can know the fullness of His Word. We can know and understand His nature and His heart. And we can know the surpassing greatness of His power that is at work through us. We should have an expectation to operate in His power, that power of Jesus Christ that He's entrusted to us. We should have an expectation for that. We are His messengers. We are truly His force carriers. There's a principle in physics, which I won't tell you because it would take too long and I would bore you, but there is a principle in physics. There are things called force carriers. What is it that makes you perceive light? There's a force carrier called a photon. It carries the force. You and I, we are the force carriers for Jesus Christ. We're the force carriers to the world around us. We have his power and authority. Be a force carrier for Jesus Christ in the world around you. Amen. Amen. Jesus, we thank you and praise you. Holy Spirit, raise our level of expectation. Raise our level of expectation so that we fully understand, even beyond what we think we understand, that we fully understand your power which works through us. And raise our level of expectation to see your power in operation through us as we pray and as we speak your word. As you speak to us and you tell us, you reveal to us or show us certain things. Or if you just present to us people that obviously need prayer, raise our level of expectation that we know it's not us, it is your power that is at work in us. We are just the force carriers. And so we will speak in the authority of your name. And we will see your power in operation to your glory and your glory alone. And we praise you in advance. We thank you for it before we see it done. In your name, Jesus. Amen.